already there. He says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me. And a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in my tabernacle forever, in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. Think of that. Think of that. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life. He's talking about himself here. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him, speaking of himself as a third person. And then we get to the eighth verse, which is actually where the title of this message comes from today, the endless song of praise. When he said, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. When we get to the place to where we're singing praises to him daily, we won't have a problem keeping our vows to him, will we? We won't. Let's bow our heads for just a moment and ask the Lord to bless this scripture and our thoughts as we go through this. Lord, we thank you so, so very much that we have been assured this morning by song and by your precious word that when there's a storm, there's a cure for the storm, and that it is to be with you, near you, face to face with you, hearing your voice, feeling your touch on our lives. And God, we ask that today. We pray for everyone who's sitting here that has been in past storms, may be in a storm today, or will face a storm tomorrow. Lord, we pray that they recognize that in the covert of your wings, there is safety, there is peace, there is rest. And we thank you for what you're going to do in this worship service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we don't call this a worship service simply because we meet at 11 o'clock. And we call it the worship service. And we call the 10 o'clock Sunday school. And we also mention that we have children's church. And we have other things that go on here at Liberty Fellowship Church, but worship is a very personal thing. So personal that you yourself, when you come to the house of God, you don't want any distractions, left, right, front, backwards. You want to just yourself get into it. And I don't mean by that you can't say amen or hallelujah. You can. Okay? It's quite all right. Or you can be like the gentleman was a week ago when he said, can I sing a song? And it was so appropriate. It was. God's good. And we just need to get into ourselves and him and just worship him together. That's where David was in this psalm. In fact, this particular psalm, David assigned it. In fact, a lot of the psalms were assigned to different musicians, chief musicians. You'll see that as you read the psalms. they were assigned to chief musicians so that they could put it to music, because all the psalms are songs. They were what the people sang in the tabernacle and in the temple before they would get into the word. They would sing the songs just like we do. And a song like Amy sang a few minutes ago will absolutely put you where you need to be in a worshipful mood. I promise you that it'll do that. But when they would gather together in the temple, they would gather together and they would sing the psalms. So he assigned this to a chief musician. There were many of them. This particular chief musician that he assigned this one to was one of the musicians that belonged to the group. You all remember the tabernacle, the study of the tabernacle that we did in the wilderness, how that they would tear it down board by board, pole by pole, cover by cover, and they would carry it wherever they were going on into the wilderness. And they would, when they got there, they would put it together pole by pole, socket by socket, curtain by curtain. And these just happened to be the group of people that carried the boards. Now, remember, this is heavy work. Musicians evidently can do a little heavy work, even if you're a guitar player. I'm just talking about Billy back there. But he was one of those that carried the boards and the poles and the sockets and the pillars of the tabernacle. Well, when they would set up later on, he became the one who would take care of the worship service in the temple. How wonderful is that? That in your life, you're going to have many things that you're going to be able to do for the Lord. Just as we have many things that we do in our secular lives, I've had many jobs, different types of jobs in my life. Started out at age of 16 working in a grocery store. That was my first job. Well, probably not that one. I had non-paying jobs at home. My dad was the good giver of jobs. And he knew exactly what needed to be done, and he would tell us, want it done like this, and if you don't do it like this the first time, you'll have to go over it and do it again. But my first paying job was a job in the grocery store, the old Giant supermarket over on Walnut Street. And then after that, I had many, many jobs as I went through life. But this particular man had a job not carrying the pillars and the boards now. He was in the temple taking care of the worship service. What an important job that was, to take care of the worship service in the temple. And he would play his harp to give thanks and praise to the Lord above. Now, if you play a musical instrument and you play it for the Lord, I want you to know there's no better place in the world than for you to play it at church. It's good to do that. In fact, every young person I see who's in the band and they tell me what instrument they play in the band, I say, do you play it at your church? And I get some kids who will say, yes, I do. And some kids say, no, I've never played in church. They don't just allow anybody to play in the church. And I'm thinking, well, how sad is that? Just bring your instrument and come where I am. You'll be able to play it. I believe that anybody who plays a musical instrument ought to be a blessing to somebody else's heart by that, because it's an art, and it's such a talent to be able to do that. I can play the radio. So if you don't listen to the channel that I put it on, I probably wouldn't thrill your heart. But this particular psalm is going to create create a song in your heart. And that's what David was doing here. He was creating a song that would touch and bless the hearts of people for years and years to come. Look how many years it's been touching hearts. It's touching a heart today. This psalm is going to touch you today. You may not sing the psalm to a tune, but you're going to be touched by it. Here was the issue behind this song. This wasn't written out of a happy feeling, people think that you have to have this awesome, happy experience to write a song, and that's not the case at all. In fact, I heard, is it Kelly Clarkson, the person who came up by The Voice or something? Anyway, she's a songwriter, And she said she didn't write songs anymore because she was happy now. Well, you know, she wrote country songs. And if you write a country song, somebody has to be sad in a country song. Not all of them, but the most of them. Anyway, she said, I don't write songs anymore because I'm happy. Well, you don't have to be happy or sad to write a song if God lays this type of song on your heart. But David wasn't happy at this time. He wanted to get there. He wanted to get back to where he was before things began to happen in his life. But at this particular time, David was in exile. But not only was he in exile, his son Absalom, if you remember the story of Absalom and David, Absalom actually turned against his father. Absalom would have tried to kill his father. He would have killed his father at times. Now, there's reason for that. You know, sin causes a lot of problems. I didn't go quiet because I didn't have anything else to say. I said sin causes a whole lot of problems. And if you follow the life of David, you know the sin in his life. And he very well could have been at the place to where he understood that the sin in his life could be contributing to the life of someone else. Now, that doesn't mean that that person can use that as an excuse to sin, and God will okay that because that person sinned in your life and you were caught up in it and you're sinning now because that person sinned in your life. That doesn't go that way. Every one of us is responsible for whatever we do in our life. And Absalom had become a very wicked young man. And you know that must have hurt David's heart. Because David was a man after God's own heart. David was a good man. Did he sin? Yes, he did. And you're a good person too. And have you ever sinned? And we probably have to say, yes, we have. And David was dealing with this. And if you're a child of God, you'll deal with it, and it'll hurt. It'll pain your heart to deal with it. So you come to a place to where you can say, Lord, I need help. And that's where David was in this particular psalm. He had a broken heart because of his son Absalom. He had a broken heart because he wasn't where he wanted to be, and that was back home with his family. Back home with those that he would touch in the temple. Back home with those he could worship with. That's where he wanted to be, and that wasn't where he was. So he had a broken heart, and he longed to be back home with his people. And I don't know about you, but sometimes sin takes us outside of our church. Sin will cause you not to want to be at the house of God. Because I know how that works. When there's sin in your life, the Word of God's going to touch you. He's going to let us know that it's not pleasing to him, and that's going to affect us if you're a child of God. And it may cause you to drop out for a few Sundays. Once you drop out for a few Sundays, you'll drop out for a few more, and after a while, you're not going to be where you need to be. And so David needed to get back where he was. And I would say to you, get back to your church family as soon as you possibly can and get back in touch with God first of all and say, God, I need to be back with my family. And he'll tell you exactly what to do through his word. He's already told us what to do. We know to repent of sin. We know to get that forgiveness that puts us back in the right relationship with him. And we can be back where we need to be. But your sin should never keep you from your church family or from your relationship with God. Because first of all, he says, little children, I don't want you to sin, but if you do, you have an advocate. You have someone that you can go and talk to immediately. There are no fees to pay, none whatsoever. You just go in before his throne and you say, God, I need to talk to you. Father, you're my father, and I need to talk to you, and you've given me the right to do this through your son, Jesus Christ. So David goes to him. And he has a request. When you go before the Lord, have your request made known. If you go before him, you have a need. And if you have a need, you have a request. And so David went and he had a request. And here's, I'm going to take it verse by verse. We're going through Psalm 61, verse by verse. So here was his request. He said, hear my cry, O God. Now, the word cry here is not an easy word. It's a very tough word Because this was a sound that was coming from the depths of his heart, from the pain that he was dealing with. The pain of his son being wicked and wanting to even kill him. The pain of his past life may be contributing to his son. Do you get where I'm coming from? The pain of not being able to be with his family. The pain of not being able to be in the temple where he wanted to be. There was a tremendous pain. So his request was, "Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer." I don't want you just to get a glimpse of hearing my prayer. I want you to attend it, Lord. There's a little bit difference there in hearing my prayer and attending my prayer. God, I want you to spend some time with my prayer. Listen to every part of it, because I am so sensitive right now for the pain that's in my heart. I need help. And I need it now, and this is my cry. And the cry here was not just a simple cry. It was a piercing cry. When you look it up and get the Hebrew meaning of this, it was a piercing cry. I have heard some piercing cries, folks. I have heard the cries of moms when their sons have passed away. Have you ever heard that piercing cry? I've heard the piercing cry of a parent when they lose a child, or from a wife when she's lost her husband, or a husband when he's lost his wife. And it's not a sound you want to hear all the time. It's a sound that comes from so deep within. It's not your normal cry. It's not your normal request for help. It's a groan. It's deep. And David said, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." Not only was he away from his people, and his son had pretty much left him. Don't want to have anything to do with dad anymore. I'd just soon not he be in my life. I don't know, you may have some of this in your family, I don't know. It's very possible. But then he found out something, that the son who didn't love him anymore was the son that he loved. He still loved him, and he wanted him back in his life, and he couldn't get that to happen. One day while his son was in battle, riding his horse through the country, he went under a tree, and he had long hair. Absalom had that flowing long hair. And as he was riding his horse, he went under the tree, and his hair got caught in the tree, and the horse went on, and Absalom was hanging by his hair in the tree. Joab, a man who didn't like Absalom, don't know if he was chasing him or what, but he came by as Absalom hung in the tree by his hair. And he took out his sword, and he killed Absalom as he hung in the tree by his hair. And David found this out. The pain that was already there was now multiplied, and it hurt even more. There's a word here I'll get to in a minute, and you're going to say, "I understand that word." Knowing that his life had contributed to his son's wickedness, David had such a broken heart, and he needed, above everything, he needed that heart healed. There are some things that happen to us in life physically, to our limbs and other things, that we would like to get healed. I fell on my knee back in July, and I'm still having problems with that knee here in October. Because every time I turn around, I hit it again. And I know you've never had a problem like that where you had an injury to a limb and you keep hitting it on things. Well, I keep hitting that same knee in here in October. And it hurts as bad or worse now than it did in July when I first hit it over the sidewalk. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm old and fallen. So don't go out telling people that your pastor is old and falling around, okay? I fell on the sidewalk, so forget it. I hurt my knee, right? Yeah. Well, David needed a good healing. I would love for my knee to heal completely, and if I ever hit it again, I could say, oh, I hit my knee. But that's not what I say when I hit my knee now. I say, oh, no, not again. Well, David's saying that, oh, no, not again. So everything was mounting up on him, and he was in the place to where his heart was just absolutely destroyed. He needed help, and he needed it immediately. So he said, Lord, hear me. Hear me, Lord. In verse 2, he said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. He's now telling him how he's going to do this. His mind is made up. He's going to cry to the Lord till he gets the help he needs. You have to go to the Lord with that attitude. Lord, I'm going to stay with you and I'm going to keep asking you till I get what I need. So from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is what? Overwhelmed. That was the word that I was telling you about. His heart was overwhelmed. I know there's been a time in your life when you have been absolutely overwhelmed. The reason for that word is because when you're overwhelmed, you're over your head. You're over your head and the problem you've got, and you can't do anything about it. Been there, done that. I know what it's like to be over your head. A lot of ways in our lives, we've been over our head. And here he says, I am overwhelmed. I can't handle this. Lord, I need you to help me. I need healing. And I need complete healing. So he said, not only do I want you to hear me, Lord, I need your help. I want you to help me. I need your help now. I can't help myself. I need your help. He wanted so bad to be back together with his family back home, I call it his home church. That's where he wanted to be. And his heart was just absolutely overwhelmed, and he knew he couldn't do anything about it. So what he went on to say in verse 2 was this. So Lord, if you would, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, might take a minute or two here, because we know who the rock is, don't we? He wasn't looking for some rock out in the wilderness. He was looking for his rock. And by the way, the Lord is your rock. The Lord is your place of help. I know you've sung this song, Hide Me, Rock of Ages. In the cleft of the rock. And I'm telling you that if you need this help that David's talking about here, if you're overwhelmed and there's a storm in your life going on as it was in his, I'm saying to you, do the same thing he did. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, just hear me. I need you to hear me. I need your help. And I need you to hide me on the rock. I need something more than just what people can do. I need you. So he says, do it for me. Aware of how he had failed and aware that he needed desperately something that he couldn't do for himself. He had such pain in his life that he needed a good painkiller. And the painkiller for his heart wasn't something you could get at the doctor. The painkiller that he needed was something that he could only get from God. So he knew where the hiding place was. He knew that when he said, hide me, Lord, that he knew where he would be hid. He would be hid in the Lord God himself. get there and nobody can touch you. And by the way, you'll want to stay there a while. A hiding place is such a good place, isn't it? When you need it, when you're overwhelmed with your life and you just need to get alone. I've known married people who said, I just need him to go away for a day and leave me alone. Or I just need her to go on a business trip somewhere and leave me alone. Go shopping. Do something. Sometimes we just need an alone time, and when we're doing that, we just need a little place to get alone and hide. I told you this, I know at one time or other, but when we lived down on the farm, we had hay bales, up in the loft of the barn, and one of our favorite things to do was get those hay bales and arrange them to where we could get under them and get in them and hide. It was a hiding place. Nobody could find us in the hay bales. Sometimes you just need a hiding place. But what I'm talking about today is much more serious than just needing a hiding place from the things of this world. I'm talking about a hiding place from the pain and the hurt where we're overwhelmed by the sin and things that's been in our lives and the hurt and pain of losing someone or just whatever's going on in your life. It's a storm. And David was having one. He said, Lord, I need your help. And here's the reason he said that I need your help, Lord. And he tells us in verse 4, he says, or verse 3, for thou hast been, here's why I need you, because you've been there before. I know that you're the cure for my heart. He said, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. You've been there for me before, you'll be there for me again. Now, we ought not to use this as a reason just go on and be what we want to be and say, well, God's been there for me before. He'll be there for me again. God warns us against using grace like that. We can't do that. We can't. And David knew that, and he wasn't doing that. He said, but I remember you were there when I needed shelter before, and you were there when I needed a strong tower before, and I know that you'll be there again. That's why he requested help from God, was because he knew that God had already answered his prayers. So when he came to this place in his life and he knew that God would be there for him, he would never leave him, never, not even to the end of the age. You say that's New Testament scripture. Yeah, but the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. David knew more than most people about the New Testament than we know today, because he was a man after God's own heart, and even though he didn't know it, he did. So he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Now he's promising God something. You see, you can't promise God anything until your relationship with him is where it needs to be. If we're having a storm in our life and we're needing the help to get where we need to be, got to get that first. Don't start making promises to God until we handle the problem. That'd been a good place for an amen. But I see y'all are quiet for a reason. Yeah, don't go saying, God, I'll do this and I'll do this. If you'll do this, I'll do this. No. Get it right with God first. Go to him and say, Lord, hear me. Hear me. Help me and hide me. Do all of these things for me, Lord. I need to be where I need to be with you. And I need to be there because I know you're the one who can handle my problems. So I'm requesting this. And then, Lord, I'm saying to you, I want to promise you that I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Now, this didn't have anything to do with making a promise that I'll go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Didn't have anything to do with that at all. He wasn't talking about the building. No, he wasn't. He was talking about being in a relationship with God, that perfect tabernacle, that perfect temple, that place in God's heart. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. But I do believe that if folks are where they need to be with the Lord, they'll want to be with God's people. Don't you believe that? I do. And I believe this is a good place to be. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. some years ago, couple, two or three, I did the photography of the robins outside my window, and I did a message here on it about faithfulness when I used the robins for doing this, and I'll never forget that. One of those particular shots that I took of that mama robin was when there had been a rain, and the rain had blown in on her nest. And when I shot that shot and I looked at it, I saw her hovering with her wings over that nest. And the look on her face was, "I got this covered." Oh, yeah. And the rain beads were all over her wings, but she was taken care. That's what David meant here when he said, "I will trust in the covert of thy wings." I know where my help is. I know where my protection is. I know where I need to be. And if you know where you need to be, I say, get it right and get there. Then we can promise God something. Then we can do what David did here when he made the promise. "I will trust in thy hiding place because I know it's safe for me. I want to be safe, and I know that's where I'll be safe." Then in verse 5, it changes. He now is not talking about his broken heart. He now is not talking about how he longs to be back with his people. He's no longer talking about the pain that's causing such overwhelming feelings in his heart. He's not there anymore. Now he's going to talk about what he expected. Is it okay to expect from God? It is when you're right with him. When your heart is right with God, it is quite all right for you to expect from God. And it's okay for him to